జయ రధ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరి వరధారీ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరి జయ రధ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరి వరధారీ యశోద నందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యమున తీరవన చారి ఉదనందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యమున తీరవన చారి యశోద నందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యమున తీరవన చారి జయ రధ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరి వరధారీ యశోద నందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యమున తీరవన చారి
హరే కృష్ణ. వెల్కమింగ్ ఆల్ ద డివోట్స్ టు పూడిక దావతం క్లాస్. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. టుడే వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 1 చాప్టర్ 9 టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 14. సర్వం కాలాకృతం మన్యే సర్వం కాలాకృతం మన్యే భవతాం చ యద ప్రియం భవతాం చ యద ప్రియం సపాలో యద్వశే లోకో సపాలో యద్వశే లోకో వాయోరివగణావళి వాయోరివగణావళి సర్వం కాలాకృతం మన్యే భవతాం చ యద ప్రియం సపాలో యద్వశే లోకో వాయోరివగణావళి. సర్వం కాలకృతం మన్యే భవతాం చ యద ప్రియం సపాలో యద్వశే లోకో వాయోరివగణావళి. సర్వం కాలకృతం మన్యే భవతాం చ యద ప్రియం సపాలో యద్వశే లోకో వాయోరివ గణావళి సర్వం కాలకృతం మన్యే భవతాం చ యద ప్రియం సపాలో యద్వశే లోకో వాయోరివ గణావళి. హరికృష్ణ మతజీస్ ఓకే వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ సర్వం ఆల్ దిస్ కాలకృతం డన్ బై ఇన్ఎవిటబుల్ టైం మనీ ఐ థింక్ భవతాం చ ఫర్ యూ ఆల్సో యత్ వాట్ ఎవర్ అప్రియం డిటెస్టబుల్ సపాల విత్ ద రూలర్స్ యత్ వశే అండర్ ద కంట్రోల్ ఆఫ్ ద టైమ్ లోకః ఎవ్రీవన్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ ప్లానెట్ తయోః ద విండ్ క్యారియర్స్ ఇవ యాజ్ గణ ఆవలిహి ఎ లైన్ ఆఫ్ క్లౌడ్స్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పాట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తివేదంత స్వామి శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ఇన్ మై ఒపీనియన్ దిస్ ఈజ్ ఆల్ డ్యూ టు ఇన్ఎవిటబుల్ టైమ్ అండర్ హూస్ కంట్రోల్ ఎవ్రీవన్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ ప్లానెట్ ఈజ్ క్యారీడ్ జస్ట్ యాజ్ ద క్లౌడ్స్ ఆర్ క్యారీడ్ బై ద విండ్. పర్పాట్ దేర్ ఈజ్ కంట్రోల్ బై టైమ్ ఆల్ ఓవర్ ద స్పేస్ within the universe as there is control by time all over the planets. All the big gigantic planets including the sun are being controlled by the force of air as the clouds are carried by the force of air. Similarly, the inevitable kala or time controls even the action of the air and other elements. Everything therefore is controlled by the supreme kala, a forceful representative of the lord within the material world. Thus Yudhishthira should not be sorry for the inconceivable action of time. Everyone has to bear the actions and reactions of time as long as one is within the conditions of the material world. Yudhishthira should not think that he had committed sin in his previous birth and is suffering the consequences now. Even the most pious has to suffer the condition of material nature, but a pious man is faithful to the Lord, for he is guided by the bona fide Brahmana and Vaishnava following the religious principles. These three guiding principles should be the aim of life. One should not be disturbed by the tricks of eternal time. Even the great controller of the universe, Brahmaji, is also under the control of that time. Therefore, one should not grudge being thus controlled by time, despite being a true follower of religious principles. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుణ్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోదిష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపా గదామయం దదాతి స్వాపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీ గురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురున్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతాం సహగణా రఘునాథాన్వితాం తాం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం. శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణా లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ. నమా ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇతి నామినే.
నమస్తే సారస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రధాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామినే గౌరవంజే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధో జగత్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యస్య కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే.
హరే కృష్ణ. వామ్ వెల్కమ్ టు ఆల్ ద డివోటీస్ హు ఆర్ ఇన్ ద టెంపుల్ హాల్ హు ఆర్ ఆల్సో అటెండింగ్ ఆన్లైన్ ఫర్ టుడేస్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్లాస్. బై ద ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ద టెంపుల్ అథారిటీస్ ఐఎమ్ సిట్టింగ్ హియర్. టుడే సపోజ్ టు బి సమ్ అదర్ స్పీకర్, ఇన్ హిస్ అబ్సెన్స్ సమ్హౌ ఐఎమ్ హియర్. సో టుడే వీఆర్ డిస్కసింగ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ద వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ వర్స్. ఇఫ్ డివోటీస్ రిమెంబర్ మెనీ ఇయర్స్ బ్యాక్, 4-5 years బ్యాక్, not even little more than that, when there was a unexpected plane crash 10 years back almost, yeah, in Himalayan range. So we lost some of our dear most devotees in that air crash. So all the community was in intense turmoil. So that time suddenly His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj had come to India in order to solace all the devotee community. Those days, for 2 weeks, we were hearing from these verses from this chapter. So these verses have a special place, especially in the circumstances of that kind of turmoil, when someone with the dearmost for oneself is lost, one can find solace reading through these verses. So those days, all our elderly senior devotees, such as His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu, His Grace Shamanand Prabhu, His Grace Gaurang Prabhu and His Grace Govind Prabhu, they all spoke from these verses. Eventually Maharaj also spoke on Saturdays, Sundays, elaborately on this section of Bhagavatam. So it is very, in that sense, it is a very important section, and I don't have any qualification to speak on this section. Seeking all of your blessings, prayers and permission, I'll try to make an attempt as per my little capacity, just to describe whatever details are mentioned in these verses. So, before coming to the current verse which is under discussion today, we'll just spend a couple of minutes trying to understand what is the situation, what is the scenario. Of course, we have heard for the last many days, many weeks, for the last couple of months, we are hearing from this section of Bhagavatam. But still, just to come to that point, let us have a quick recap. So, starting from the 7th chapter, we saw that for the unexpected turn of events in the life of Ashwatthama, he had taken a decision that no one ever thought of in this world, that he killed all the remaining warriors of the Pandavas while they are sleeping in the dead of night, all the way up to the 5 sons of Pandavas and Shikhandi and Drushtadyumna, etc. So eventually, in reciprocation, not reciprocation, but in reaction to that, Lord Krishna made Arjuna punish him thoroughly, removing the jewel from his forehead and shaving him inappropriately and then kind of insulting him, because a Brahmana is not supposed to be killed. So from that point of view, they have done a kind of insult which is as good, which is much worse than death, so to him. So in order to take revenge for that activity that he went through, humiliation, హీ త్రూ బ్రహ్మాస్త్ర ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు డిస్ట్రాయ్ ద లాస్ట్ రెమినెంట్ ఆఫ్ పాండవాస్ ద ఫైవ్ పాండవాస్ అండ్ ద అప్కమింగ్ గ్రాండ్ సన్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫైవ్ పాండవాస్ దట్ ఇస్ పరీక్షిత్ మహారాజ్ హూ స్టిల్ ఇన్ ద వూంబ్ ఆఫ్ ఉత్తర సో అండర్స్టాండింగ్ దట్ సంథింగ్ ఇస్ చేంజింగ్ ఆఫ్టర్ హర్ ఉత్తర సడన్లీ కమ్స్ టు లార్డ్ కృష్ణ సో ఎట్ దట్ టైమ్ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ వాజ్ గెట్టింగ్ రెడీ టు డిపార్ట్ ఫ్రమ్ హస్తినాపూర్ టు ద్వారకా హ్యావింగ్ పర్ఫార్మ్ ద లాస్ట్ రైట్స్ ఫర్ ఆల్ ద రెసిడెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద వారియర్స్ హూ డైడ్ ఇన్ ద బ్యాటిల్ ఫీల్డ్ ఎట్సెట్రా ఎట్సెట్రా సో దెన్ ఉత్తరా కమ్స్ అండ్ రిక్వెస్ట్ ఫర్ కృష్ణ ప్లీజ్ సేవ్ మీ నాట్ మీ బట్ సేవ్ మై సన్ అట్లీస్ట్ ఇఫ్ ఐఎమ్ డైయింగ్ నో ప్రాబ్లమ్ ఐ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ ఎన్ ఇష్యూ బట్ సేవ్ మై సన్ హూ ఇస్ ద ఓన్లీ సోర్స్ ఆఫ్ సస్టెనెన్స్ ఫర్ ద పాండవాస్ అండ్ ఎంటైర్ డైనెస్టీ దెన్ కృష్ణ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ వాట్ హ్యాపెండ్ ప్రొటెక్టెడ్ ద పాండవాస్ ప్రొటెక్టెడ్ పరీక్షిత్ మహారాజ్ దెన్ రిక్వెస్టెడ్ ఎవ్రీవన్ టు గివ్ పర్మిషన్ టు లీవ్ as he was requesting permission from Kunti, Kunti Maharani suddenly expresses her devotional feelings towards Lord Krishna in the form of wonderful prayers. Then having heard those prayers, having satisfied with the prayers of gratitude of Kunti Maharani, Lord Krishna with her due permission, getting ready to depart. That was the time Yudhishthira Maharaj comes forward. He was in dual thinking. Though he was told by Vyasadev, Daumya and many other great sages who were there during that time in Hastinapur and also he was requested by Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadeva, Draupadi and Kunti Maharani to accept the throne of Hastinapur but he was in dual mind. I don't have any qualification to accept the throne of Hastinapur. He gives elaborate reasons at the end of the previous chapter. He says that generally when a king who is not protecting the citizens, who is simply exploiting the citizens, he should be punished by inviting for a war and by killing him or etc. etc. But according to me, Duryodhana is ruling nicely. I have just killed him for the sake of kingdom. Apparently it seems too much for us when we hear this kind of words from Yudhishthira Maharaj. But this is the personality of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Even though Duryodhana and his party, the Dushtudhishthiram, Duryodhana, Dushyasana, Shakuni and Karna plotted many schemes starting from their life, that the moment when they came from Himalayas. Since then, the Duryodhana and his party trying to kill Pandavas from the very root. They are looking for any opportunity to kill them. In spite of going through all the difficulties, still Yudhishthira thinks like this. Duryodhana is okay, good king, taking care of the people. I have just killed him for the sake of my throne. And for the sake of this throne, I have caused the death of 64 crores of people. 11 plus 7, 18 Akshahunis are killed in the battle of Kurukshetra. And many other associates or assistants in the battlefield are also kind of killed. So many people are died. As a result of that, what is happening in the kingdom? The men are killed in the battlefield. The women are left without sons, without husbands, and the children are left without fathers. So apparently in the battlefield, the warriors are died. Eventually they may go to Swarga. But what happens to the people who are left behind? They are all put into intense suffering. It is all just because of my desire to sit on the throne. And Ramana says, no, not like that. You are supposed to be the king. You are supposed to take care of the people. If at all you think that you have performed a sin, you can perform a Ashwamedha sacrifice by which you can get rid of the sin. So then Yudhishthira Maharaj gives various reasons that how can we counteract the sin of killing someone by killing another animal in the Ashwamedha sacrifice? I don't see that is proper. And he gives an example. We wash the vessels, the food vessels after cooking with soap. Nowadays, liquid soap and solid soaps are there. If you go back, in the previous days, the Matajis used to use ash. Because nowadays we are using gas or electricity, electric stove. But in the previous days, they were using wood or cow dung patties. So at the end, there will be so much ash or rock that is used for washing the vessels. So that in a way, that is nothing but the transformation of mud. So how can you clean a muddy pot by using mud? It will become more muddy. You cannot clean it. And how can you clean a pot in which
some liquor is kept previously. And using more liquor, can you clean that? No. So my performing of Ashwamedha Yajna is something like that. I cannot cleanse of my sin of killing so many warriors by killing another animal for no reason. I don't have any qualification to become the king. So this was the, what you can say, argument of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Even though the sages headed by Vyasa, Daumya are speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj, citing the Puranic references, so war is inevitable. So you should not be thinking like that. Even Krishna also spoke. Still, Yudhishthira Maharaj did not accept. Because Lord Krishna, just like he entered into the womb of Uttara and protected Parikshit Maharaj, entered into the heart of Yudhishthira Maharaj and did not allow him to get convinced. Because Lord Krishna wanted to accomplish one more mission. And in order to accomplish that mission, Lord Krishna stayed back for a few more days. Even though he already decided to go to Dwaraka, but he stayed back. That mission was to fulfill the last desire of Bhishma. That Bhishma wanted to have darshan before giving up his mortal body. So then Krishna tells Yudhishthir. Not only Krishna, all the sages say that. In the Mahabharata we find great details about all this episode. In the Bhagavatam very quickly it is mentioned. Okay, you are not listening to us? No problem. We all know that there is one person who can give you right answer, who has seen generations of your dynasty, who had the knowledge of all the celestials. Let us go to him. He will tell you what you have done is right or not. Now he is your judge. You are thinking yourself as a culprit. Let us go to the judge. He will tell you. Like that, Vyasa and Daumya and all the other elderly sages have decided. Yudhishthira agreed for that. And Lord Krishna tells now, okay, we will go to Bhishma, but the one and only desire of Bhishma is to see you as the king of Hastinapur. In order to fulfill that desire of Bhishma, we should accept the throne. You should accept the mukut of Hastinapur. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj, following the instructions of Lord Krishna, the coronation ceremony is performed for Yudhishthira Maharaj, wearing the attire of the king. Yudhishthira Maharaj boarded the chariot, following following him all the father Pandavas and all other elders of Afko, Pandava dynasty, and all the great sages. They all went to the battlefield of Kurukshetra, where Bhishma was still lying on the bed of arrows. So all these personalities went, and five Pandavas fell flat in front of Bhishma and they offered full Dandavat pranams. And then understanding that something wonderful is going to happen, all the great sages who are there all over the universe, all the way up to Brahmaloka, they all come down to the battlefield of Kurukshetra. In order to witness this wonderful event that is going to take place now, in the direct presence of Lord Krishna. So Bhishma receives all the great sages, headed by Narada, Daumya, Brihadashva, Bharadvaja, Parashurama, Indraprahmada, Trita, Gritasmita, Asita, Gautama, Kaushika, Shraddhavan, all the great sages whomsoever we hear in Mahabharata, Ramayana, they all assembled there on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Now Bhishma's situation is that entire body is pierced with so many arrows, and with the half arrows inside the body, half the arrows outside, he was lying on the battlefield. It is not a separate bed of arrows on which he is lying. The arrows which are piercing through his body, on that he is lying. He fell down on the 10th day of the battle, 18 days of the battle completed. That means 8 more days, and eventually Pandavas went to Hastinapur, performed last rites, and maybe couple of days might have passed, a week or so, then they returned. So he was there alone in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So he cannot move his hands, he cannot move his legs, he cannot get up. The only thing what he can do is, he can move his eyelids here and there. He can speak, he can smile. With slight smile, with compassionate glances, he kind of received all the great sages. He spoke welcoming words. Then, understanding the great position of Lord Krishna, Bhishma received Lord Krishna very nicely. With his glance, with his smile, and with some words. And then, in order to appease the crying Pandavas. The five Pandavas are crying bitterly because they know that he is the one who cared us since the time we came from the Himalayas. He is like our father figure, because our father died. He is like our father figure till date. He took care of us very nicely, and we caused him this kind of suffering now, what he is going through. So Pandavas were bitterly crying. So that time, in order to alleviate them from the painful situation that they are going through, Bhishma starts speaking from 12th verse. Today we are discussing 14th verse. Just a couple of verses back, he started speaking to Pandavas in order to alleviate their miserable situation. Wherein Bhishma said in the 12th verse, he said that, Aho kastam aho anyayam yadyuyam dharma nandana jivitum nahatim klishtam vipra dharma achutashraya. So my dear sons of Pandu, you people are very much dedicated to vipra, dharma and achyuta. All you five Pandavas are completely surrendered to the will of the Supreme Lord, completely surrendered to the instructions of the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and completely surrendered to the dictates of religious principles. And Srila Prabhupada writes these details in this purport. Though the verse was spoken two verses before, Prabhupada mentions this particular theme in this verse, wherein Prabhupada says that even the most pious has to suffer the conditions of material nature, but a pious man is faithful to the Lord, Achyuta Ashraya, for he is guided by the bona fide Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, Vipra Ashraya, and such a person is following the religious principles, Dharma Ashraya. These three guiding principles should be the aim of life for anyone and everyone. These three should be the guiding principles: Vipra, Dharma, Achyuta. We generally say Guru Sadhu Shastra. Guru Sadhu comes under the line of Vipra, and Dharma is Shastra, and ultimately everything comes from the Supreme Lord, Achyuta Ashraya. So in that sense, so one should not be disturbed by the tricks of eternal time. Of course, this we will discuss a little later. So that was the thing. So he says that Vipra, Dharma, Achyuta Ashraya, those people in general understanding in this world, if you do good, you will get good. You are supposed to get good in return. That is what is the natural expectation in this world. Not expectation, it is a natural thing, supposed to be done. Otherwise, who will do good? No one will do good anytime. So if I am getting miseries by doing good, who will do good? But here in the case of Pandavas, in spite of being under the shelter of Vipra, Dharma, Achyuta, you have gone through so many difficulties. Aho kastam, aho anyayam, you have gone through so many injustices. For any other person in this world, if they have gone to this kind of difficulty, this kind of miseries, they could not survive. You people who are completely religious, completely following Vipra, Dharma, Achyuta, are never expected to go through such kind of difficulties. But you have gone through all these difficulties. Then the Pandava said that, so my dear grandfather, don't worry. We are simply going through the reactions of our past karmas. Then Bhishma says, Yadyuyam Dharma Nandana. So my dear Yudhishthir, you are not an ordinary person. You are Dharma Nandana. You are the son of Dharmaraj. You are the son of Yamaraj, who is kind of evaluating the Dharma of the people. If Dharmaraj himself is supposed to be comes under the control of karma, how can he supervise the control of, how can you supervise the karma of other living entities? Dharma is supposed to be above karma. So you don't say like that. Not only you, but your mother also gone through so many difficulties. That Bhishma says in the next verse. Samsate atitare atirate pandav prita bala prajavadu Yushmat krite bahun kleshan prapta tokavati muhu. Your mother lost her husband early in her life. and she was left with small boys. It is very difficult to grow children without the father. So she said that in order to grow all of you, having come to Hastinapur, having understood that there is a danger at every instance. The Pandavas, Kunti Maharani understood. When Bhima was poisoned by Duryodhana, she understood that these Kauravas never want my sons to continue living. Though she is living in Hastinapur, she is always afraid. Anything can happen anytime. The Kauravas can scheme in any way. Anyway, they want to kill my sons. Anything can happen. How can a mother living in the midst, surrounded by all the envious people who does not want them to live, how can they live peacefully? And Kunti was going through this kind of misery throughout her life. Eventually, they were sent to lakh house. They want the Duryodhana scheme to burn them alive. So many things happened eventually. So she was always worried about the safety of Pandavas. She also went through so many difficulties. Whether the difficulty that you have been through, whether the difficulties your mother has been through, what to speak of mother, even Draupadi, by being the wife of the five Pandavas together, she also went through so many difficulties. Being insulted in that royal assembly of Hastinapur, who is the monarch of the entire Bharatavarsha. So all you people have gone through difficulties. You may say that out of your humility, we are simply going through the reactions of our karma. But you people are not like ordinary people. You people are beyond ordinary. Whatever happened in your life is not a reaction to your karma, past karmas. It is all sarvam kala kritam manne bhavatam cha yad apriyam. Even though no one in this world does desire this kind of difficulties in this life, apriyam, no one likes to have this kind of difficulties. But all such difficulties came in your life, not because of your past karmas, but because of kala. Kala kritam. Everything is a manifestation of the moving of time, the wandering of time, the effect of time. Sarva kala kritam mani. I consider whatever happened in your life is all due to the influence of time, not because of your past karmas. Never think that it is all because of your past karma and think otherwise. You people are not to be in that line of the people ordinarily go through. It is all because of time. How can you say that because of time this is happening? What to speak of you, everyone in this universe, forget about the human beings, all the way up to the Lokapalas, Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, they are also under control of time. Sapalo yad vashe loko vayoriva ganavali. Even the gigantic clouds that we see in the rainy season in the sky, very, very, very huge clouds, which ordinarily cannot be moved, but they are easily moved from their respective places to other places by a gush of wind. The wind can take them, huge clouds also, to a different place. And that similarly, the time controls big, big people such as Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu. Then what to speak of you? Whatever happened in your life is also due to the effect of kala. Don't think that it is an effect of your past karmas. So taking these points, Prabhupada actually nicely presents any person going through difficulties. If they understand this, they will be pacified in that sense. Everything therefore is controlled by the Supreme Kala, a forceful representative of the Supreme Lord within the material world. The Supreme Lord himself manifests in this material world in two features. Internally in the core of the heart as Paramatma, externally in the form of time. It is the time which creates the material manifestation. It is the time which maintains the material manifestation. It is the time which annihilates the material manifestation. Time is the governing principle of everything that is happening. In fact, Bhagavatam talks about the time as direct manifestation of the Supreme Lord, who is called as Kala Chakra. Later part of the Bhagavatam is said to be Kala Chakra. It is by the movements of Kala Chakra, all the grahas are moving, all the devatas are moving, they are performing their activities, and everything is happening in our life only by the will of time. And in the second canto, very nice principle is presented. There are two things which are governing us. Kala karma and guna. So, the two things are, one is maya, the material nature, the second one is kala. Simple to understand, in our life, starting from the time of birth, we slowly grow, infant, the small child, then boy, youthful. So, eventually we grow, get married, we get children, stay for some time, maintain the family, etc. Eventually become old, die one day. Whatever transformation that we go through in our body, with respect to our body, in this lifespan, they are all the direct effects of time. Everything is due to the influence of time. We go through the six phases in living, while living in one particular body. And then, transmigrating from one body to other body is the effect of maya. The material nature, in order to facilitate the fulfillment of our material desires, when this body becomes worn out, is no more useful, takes us to the next body, puts us in the womb of another mother. So where, by taking another birth, we continue to perform another set of activities to fulfill another set of desires. That will be the result of maya. So basically, by the combined influence of kala and maya, we obtain a material body and go through transformations, the body go through transformations, and we change from one species to other species. All these things are happening in the material world by the influence of these two. But, so that is what is mentioned here, that kala has special influence on each and every person. Thus, Yudhishthira should not be sorry for the inconceivable action of time. So whatever happened in your life is not the result of your past karma. This may be for others. For everyone else in this world may be the result of their karma. But for you people it is not the result of karma. It is the effect of time. Everyone has to bear actions and reactions of time as long as one is within the conditions of the material world. Yudhishthira should not think that he had committed sin in his previous birth and is suffering the consequences now. Even the most pious has to suffer the conditions of material nature. But a pious man supposed to take shelter of Vipra, Dharma, Achyuta. Even though in spite of going through so many difficulties in one's life, but those people who take shelter of Vipra, Dharma, Achyuta, they will survive all the difficulties. Eventually they will perfect their life. Then, it says that, one should not be disturbed by the tricks of eternal time. Even the great controller of the universe, all the way up to Brahmaji, is also under the control of that time. Therefore, one should not grudge being thus controlled by the time, despite being a true follower of religious principle. A true follower of the religious principles should not be grudged by the influence of time. Instead, they should take shelter of Vipra, Dharma, Achyuta and move on in one's life. So like that, there are so many other things are mentioned in this particular section. Here, just like Bhishma is speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj, in the previous chapter, Lord Krishna and all the sages also spoke in the same way. The same terminology is being used by all the great sages such as Vyasa, Daumya and Lord Krishna. There, in the fourth verse of the eighth chapter, they said that, Santvayam asa munibir hata bandhun sucharpitam. Sucha is going through, not only Yudhishthir, the entire Kuru dynasty is going through misery now, lamentation now. The Pandavas are going through lamentation because their five sons are died, their friends are died. Draupadi is going through lamentation. Subhadra is going through lamentation. Even Dhritarashtra and Gandhari are going through lamentation. Everyone was there. So in order to pacify all of them, the great sages were saying that, Bhuteshu kalasya gatim darshayam na pratikriyam. Whatever is happening is the effect of time. Darshayam kalasya gatim. This is the movement of time. Whatever is happening now is the movement of time. But na pratikriyam, no one can counteract it. No one in this world has the strength to counteract the influence of time. We have to simply accept and move on. That is the powerful nature of time. No one can stop it. So the sages have spoken the same things, and here Bhishma is also speaking the same things. So like that, in the upcoming verses which we hear from different speakers tomorrow onwards, so many other things are being spoken. So just to conclude this section, a couple of verses, I'll just briefly touch upon. He says in the next verse that, Yatra Dharma Suto Raja Gandiva Gadapani Rukodara, etc. He says that, so where direct the son of Dharma, Yudhishthira Maharaj is there, where the most powerful person Bhima is there, where the most skillful person, Arjuna, is there, where the Supreme Lord personally guiding the Pandavas, where so many friends who are ready to assist the Pandavas are there, still, how can they can expect such kind of reversals in their life because of their past karmas? No. A person who is affected by past karmas, how can he be in the midst of such kind of wonderful association? And then, he says that, Nahi asya karhitir radhan puman veda vidistan yadit vijishnasaya yukta muvyanti kavayobihi. No one can understand the wanderings of time. Even the greatly learned persons can never estimate how time is going to act now. What time wants to do next tomorrow. No one can understand it. Muvyanti kavayobihi. Even the great learned scholars becomes bewildered by the, in order to understand the nature of time. Then, he says that, Tasmat idam daiva tantram vyavastha bharatarshaba tasyanu vito nata nata pahi praja prabhu. So, my dear Yudhishthir, kindly understand that whatever is happening by the influence of time. The time is nothing but daiva tantram. It is the destiny orchestrated by the Supreme Lord. It is the will of the Supreme Lord. You cannot go against the will of the Supreme Lord. What is the will of the Supreme Lord? The will of the Supreme Lord is, you become Natha of the Anathas. Your entire country may now become Anathas. They have lost their fathers. Some of them lost their fathers. Some of them lost their husbands. Some of them lost their children. They are all feeling as if they don't have any Natha. So accepting the throne of Hastinapur, become the master of all the people and guide them in the right path. Understanding this is the will of the Supreme Lord, please follow that. So then in the 18th verse, he says, who is that Supreme Lord? Who is that Daiva Tantram? Who is that Kala? Eshavai Bhagavan Sakshad Adyo Narayana Puman Mohayan Mayaya Lokam Gudas Charati Vrishnushu. That Kala, that Daiva is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, who is none other than Sakshad Adyo Narayana, the original Narayana, and who, just to bewilder all of us, has appeared in Vrishni dynasty and moving among us like one of us. Gudas Charati Vrishnushu. That Adyo Narayana, that Bhagavan, that Daiva, that Kala is this person who is standing in front of us. And his desire is to, his desire is that you should become the Natha of Anathas. You should become the king of Hastinapur and protect all the citizens and guide them in the right path so that they will go back home back to Godhead. That was the desire of the Daiva. And this is the instruction of Bhishma. So with these few verses, in one sense, Yudhishthira Maharaj was formally convinced. Of course, there is further many discussion is there. The much more discussion is there in the Bhagavatam, also in the Mahabharata. So we will not get into all those further details. The future speakers will elaborate on those subject matters. So with the whatever remaining time is there, so let us try to understand who Bhishma is. Who is Bhishma? Why Lord Krishna is insisting upon Bhishma to pacify the Pandavas, Bhishma to instruct Yudhishthira Maharaj? It's a couple of points as per my little understanding based on Madhvacharya's commentary on Mahabharata. So we'll discuss in the remaining time. So before the beginning of Mahabharata, of course in the Bhagavatam 10th canto also we read that the entire earth is overburdened by the demoniac kings. All the demons had appeared in the form of various kings. It is overburdened. Devatas, headed by Lord Brahma, requested by Mother Earth, approached the Supreme Lord to alleviate the burden, remove the burden of the earth. So in that instance, the Supreme Lord instructs all the devatas, may all of you also take part in my Leela, so that let us do the thing together. So various devatas are appearing in various dynasties. So during that time, just at the time of this events are happening on other side, in the Devaloka, something interesting is happening. There are 8 Vasus. Who are the sons of a woman known as Vasu, who are the wife of Dharma, who are the daughter of, that Vasu was the daughter of Daksha, I suppose. So the 8 Vasus had married. They are happy. They are living nicely. At one point of time, the wife of one Vasu whose name was Dyu Vasu, her name is Varangi. He happened to see the Nandini cow, which was the cow of Vasishtha Rishi, which can fulfill all one's desires, etc., etc., so many things. And this Varangi wanted to have that cow for one of her friend. She insisted her husband, please get me that cow. So Dyu Vasu kind of trying to pacify her. So my dear wife, please understand that belongs to a great sage. We should not take it. If required, I can ask him for 1 or 2 days. We can use it for 1 or 2 days, maybe for some time. So let us not take it. She says, if at all you want to come home, get it. Otherwise, don't come. Get lost. Something like that. I am adding something to it. So he cannot do anything now. He has to follow the words of his wife in order to please her. Just like in the 10th canto, we also hear that after killing Bhaumasura or Narakasura, Lord Krishna took the kundal of Aditi and the umbrella of Varuna and few other things of the devatas, returned to Indra. Lord Krishna went to heavenly planets along with Satyabhama in order to appease her. Because when Narada Muni came with a Parijata flower, which Lord Krishna gave to Rukmini, and Satyabhama said, no, you have given her Parijata flower, you have not given me. It means you love her more than me. You don't love me. Then Krishna promised, don't worry, I will get you one more Parijata flower. So in order to please her, now Krishna takes Satyabhama all the way up to heaven. So there, Indra receives Krishna nicely. Indra organizes a wonderful reception. So many things happened. In that, there is a competition between Krishna's wife and Indra's wife. Satyabhama and Sachi Devi, I don't know, the name is not clearly mentioned, Indra's wife. They were kind of competing with each other through the glances. My husband is great. My husband is great. My husband is great. Something like that. So when Krishna was returning back, he kind of took away one Parijata flower for pleasing Satyabhama. Then Indra's wife said, how can he can take that Parijata tree? Please go and stop. They cannot take. Parijata tree is meant for heaven, not for the earth. Then Indra says, no, please listen. Krishna, just now we came from that Narakasura, he killed him and we can't. He kind of helped us. It is not good. Let him take. Then she says, no, it is ours. Please get it. So, what can be done? He has to follow. So, Indra went and fought with Lord Krishna. Eventually, he defeated by Krishna. Then, Indra's wife understood. Okay. Kind of. So, like that, here also, this Jew was supposed to follow the instructions of his wife. So, he requested all his co-brothers. The 7 brothers were there. Please help me to steal this cow away from the ashram of Vasishtha. So they successfully kind of stole that cow as they were going away, fleeing away. Vasishtha understood what is happening. And Vasishtha warned them, no, don't take the cow. Still they are going to take that cow away. Then Vasishtha cursed, you people are behaving like humans out of jealousy, out of envy, out of greed. What is this? You are not fit to be in the heaven. Go to hell, earth. I curse all of you to go and take birth in the earth to the womb of human beings. Then immediately they realized, we are playing with fire. They immediately came back, returned the cow and begged forgiveness, etc., etc. And they said, the remaining 7 was said that, please forgive us, we are just assisting him. It is he who made this plan, so not our desire. And he also did not make this plan on his own. His wife instigated him to do this. Then, because all of you are involved in the conspiracy, I will readjust your curse. So may you 7 Vasus may take birth in the earth and immediately come back. No problem. But this person who did it, who planned it, he is supposed to live for the lifespan of all your 8 vasus. For example, one person maybe 100 years, 8 vasus, 800 years, he is supposed to live. And this one vasu supposed to go through the pain of Janma Mrutyu Jara Vyadhi, the pain of birth and pain of living and pain of death of the 8 people. Not the pain of one person. He is supposed to live for the lifespan of 8 people. He is supposed to go through the pain of 8 people. And since following the dictates of his wife, he did all this. His wife also will take birth on the earth. Both will be seeing each other, but they will never get married to each other. They will be dire enemies of each other. And because of her, he is going to take birth in the earth. And because of her, he will come back again. As long as they are on the earth, they will be dire enemies. Here now following just to please his wife, out of loving affection, he is doing all this. Stealing a brahmana's property, stealing a sage's property. There in the earth, they will be dire enemies. Both want, basically. So, she will be the cause of his death. So, like that, he kind of adjusted the curse. Then the sages, the other 7 vasus, they requested that. So, my dear sage, kindly do one more adjustment. So, even though let him be born on the earth, so make sure that he will not have any human traits. He will be completely thoroughly knowledgeable. He will be thoroughly powerful. He will be have the power of 8 of us. He will have the knowledge of 8 of us. And let him be a greatly renowned person for the rest of eternity in the earth. Even though he may take birth there, let him remain as the famous personality on the earth. And at the same time, please give another correction that let us not take birth from the womb of a human being. Because birth from a human being is go through a lot of painful process as it is explained in the Bhagavatam 3rd Canto, etc. So then Vasishtha said, okay, no problem. This is your desire, no problem. So then, on the other hand, these 8 vasus understood that Mother Ganga also had been cursed to go to earth. So they approached Ganga, they requested Ganga. So this is what we have gone through. You help us. As soon as we take birth, you kind of deliver us. And this one is supposed to live there. So do the needful. Ganga agreed. So in order to fulfill the desire of 8 vasus, in order to go through her own curse that she also supposed to go and live among the humans, she immediately went to Pratipa. That time Pratipa was ruling the Hastinapur. Pratipa was the father of Shantanu. So Ganga's husband was Varuna. Varuna, ocean god, Ganga, both are wife and husband. So Varuna is going to appear as Shantanu. So understanding that Shantanu, that Varuna is going to appear as the third son of Pratipa, she goes to Pratipa and sits on the right thigh of, he was sitting on the simhasan, she directly goes through to the palace and sits on the right thigh of Pratipa and tells that, so my dear king, I want to marry you. King, being a religious minded, he says that generally the left thigh is meant for the wife, right thigh is meant for the daughter or daughter-in-law. Since you have sought on my right thigh, I cannot accept you as my wife. I will only accept you as my daughter-in-law. Then, using this as a for her own favor, she says that, no problem, I will marry your third son. You will be having many sons in the future, but I will marry your third son and he should never ask me who am I. First condition. Second condition, if I may do something, you should never stop me doing that. And third thing is that, if at all he stops me doing that particular activity, I will leave him. I cannot stay anymore after him, after that event. So he agreed, no problem, because I have already given my word that I will accept you as my daughter-in-law. I have to accept, I have to follow my word. So he said, agreed. So eventually Shantanu married Ganga without knowing who she was. Because following the instruction of his father, he married her. Eventually they bore one after the other many children. The first son was born. Immediately Ganga drowned in the Ganges water. So even though Shantanu saw, but he did not say anything. Because if he says something, she will leave. So like that, 7 times he just overlooked whatever she is doing. And the 8th time when she was drowning the child, she said, what kind of a cruel woman you must be. Apparently it seems to be very cruel activity. But I cannot suspect you that you are a cruel being. Because your personality signifies divine qualities. There must be a reason behind this. Can you tell me who you are and why you are doing this? There must be a divine cause for whatever you are doing. Then Ganga reveals everything what all happened to with respect to Vasus. And this one child is supposed to live for long. She is destined to live. That's why you stopped me now. But anyway, I'll give you back this son after some time. Let me take him to my abode, heaven. And I will train him nicely. Then I'll bring him back. Then Ganga takes him to Swarga. Trains him for some time nicely. Then sends him to the ashrama Buraspati, the teacher of the Devatas. He learnt all the Vedas for 50 long years. Then he was sent to the ashrama Parashuram, where he studied all the Vedangas and other subsidiary Vedic literatures and also all the weaponry for 100 years. Then Ganga brought him to Shantanu. Almost about 200 years are passed. 50 years with Ganga, 50 years with Buraspati, 100 years with Parashuram. Then she gave the son to Shantanu Maharaj. Shantanu Maharaj made him crown prince and then spent some time with him. Then eventually again Bhishma expressed his desire that I want to study some more time. Then father said, okay, no problem, you go. Then Bhishma again goes to Buraspati, studies for another 50 years. Then goes to Parashuram, studies for another 50 years. Eventually after completing for 300 years of study, he comes home. So in the second time when Bhishma went, during this time, Shantanu Maharaj comes across with Satyavati. So when after coming back, Bhishma understood the dilemma which Shantanu Maharaj is going through. Then Bhishma goes and appears at the father of that Satyavati and that marriage happened eventually. At that time, Bhishma takes a vow that I will be a servant of the throne of Hastinapur from now on. I will protect the king whoever sits on the throne hereafter. He is so powerful, he is so knowledgeable, but he takes that vow that I will be subservient to the will of the king of the Hastinapur. So like that, just because he has taken this vow, we see all that happened in the Mahabharata. So many things happened. Even though Bhishma could do, he is so powerful, but he cannot do until unless the king says. If Dhritarashtra says only, he can do something. So many things are happening around. So many difficulties are happening all over the world. But he cannot do anything. Even Duryodhana doing so many inhuman activities, trying to kill the Pandavas. But he could not do anything because he is subservient of the king. And Dhritarashtra is following Duryodhana. So he kind of, he remained tolerant all these years, etc., etc. And now he has come to the current condition of being pierced by unlimited arrows throughout the body and lying on the deathbed. So throughout his life, in spite of seeing through the injustices in the life of the Pandavas, Bhishma could not do anything. He had to simply tolerate, which is due to the result of the curse. On the other hand, the Varangi appeared as Shikhandi. First he appeared as Amba. Her life is in miserable conditions. Eventually she appeared as Shikhandi. So much difficulties in her life also. She also went through so many difficulties, thinking Bhishma to be her dire enemy. Wanted to kill him at any given point of any given opportunity. Like that, eventually now, things are coming to an end. So Bhishma throughout the life gone through the pain of 8 people. At the time of death also, he is going through the pain of 8 people. What kind of pain a person must go through when the whole body is pierced with so many arrows? If there is a small prick in our small finger, we can't tolerate. Then Bhishma is going through how much? Can anyone imagine? No one. So now, Bhishma, who had spent long amount of time for 300 years in order to gain all the knowledge. From the time Pandavas came to Hastinapur, Bhishma never had any opportunity to teach Pandavas. Because in the beginning, the Pandavas are constantly going through difficulties only. They came and so many difficulties, then they were sent to Gurukul, then they were sent to Lakshaguru, then they were sent to, what is that, Khandavaprastha, like that. They were always away from Hastinapur. They were not there in Hastinapur only, along with Bhishma anytime. Bhishma never had an opportunity to teach Pandavas. So, since Bhishma is a learned person, Bhishma never had any opportunity to teach Pandavas. Lord Krishna orchestrated all these events so that now Bhishma can speak to the Pandavas. How to rule the people in the kingdom? How to direct them in the proper path so that they all will go back to Godhead? Bhagavatam 11th canto says that in these 35 years when Yudhishthira Maharaj was ruling, though it is the fag end of Dwapara Yuga, though it is the beginning of Kali Yuga, but the entire atmosphere was like that of Satya Yuga. Understand? What kind of atmosphere it must have been? Those 35 years during which Yudhishthira Maharaj ruled, the entire area is like that of Satya Yuga. So that was the effect of the teachings of, in one say, Bhishma Dev. Yudhishthira Maharaj strictly followed all the teachings of Bhishma and very nicely governed the people of Hastinapur and the entire Bharata Varsha. They experienced Satya Yuga even in Dwapara Yuga, even at the end of Dwapara Yuga, not in the beginning, when Kali Yuga is about to approach. So these are some of the glorious aspects of Bhishma Dev. Of course, from Bhagavatam point of view, he is our Mahajan. Mahajano Yena Gatasya Panta. And those glories of Bhishma will be revealed in the future section of Bhagavatam, this chapter. So these are the few thoughts about the current day verse and also some words of glorification of Bhishma Dev. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Bhaktavinda ki jai.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram.